Hello and welcome to The Flying Frisbee. And today's piece is called Brown's Bottom, 25 years on. This week, May the 7th, marks the 25th anniversary of one of the UK's greatest ever financial blunders. There is no shortage of them, but this one really stands out. And that is Gordon Brown's decision to sell more than half of Britain's gold at what turned out to be the bottom of the market. The decision and then its implementation were both of such cack-handed incompetence that for many, the only possible explanation is conspiracy, and we'll come to that in a moment. But every now and then, the government does something. You might not even be concentrating, but you just hear about it and your ears prick up and you think, well, what are they doing that for? And this was one of those times. I knew nothing about gold or investing back then, but even I could see it was a dumb and needless thing to do. And that is the most amazing thing. Brown was under no pressure to sell. He was under no pressure to do anything. And even non-libertarians will struggle to explain why we need government when they are this incompetent. So it was 2 years into Brown's new job as Chancellor of the Exchequer, and at the time, the UK had approximately 715 tonnes of gold, worth around $6.5 billion. And the value of the country's gold amounted to about half of its 13 billion foreign currency reserves. And the Treasury wanted, and I quote, to achieve a better balance in the portfolio. There was, it said, too much exposure to a single asset which paid no interest and whose price was volatile. And via a written question in the House of Commons, the government announced that it would be holding a series of auctions for its gold reserves, with an eventual plan to sell 415 tonnes by 2002. And Eddie George, the governor of the Bank of England, raised strong objections, as he puts it, and he and Gordon Brown clashed. But he was, and I quote, outgunned by a coalition of the Treasury and some of his own senior officials. The sale of the gold was not something that we recommended at the bank, George later said. We did not think it was a good idea to sell such a large amount of gold at once. However, the decision was taken by the Chancellor and his advisers, and we respected their right to make that decision. Now, London was still just at the epicentre of the international gold market, and its numerous gold traders thought the decision was nuts. Gold prices move in decades-long cycles, they told the Bank of England officials, and the price was likely a lot nearer the bottom than the top. The timing of the decision was ludicrous. We told them you are going to push the gold price down before you sell, said Peter Farver, who was then head of precious metals dealing at HSBC. We thought it was a disastrous decision. We couldn't understand it. Revealing the timings and amounts for sale so far in advance would cause traders to short the asset, and that would drive the gold price lower. But not only did Brown give a 2 month advance notice to the market that the UK would be selling, driving away any potential buyers and sending speculators short in advance of the sale, the UK even lent out one fifth of its gold, which speculators borrowed and sold in order to front run the UK's sale. And sure enough, the price fell 10% by the time of the first auction in July, to lows not seen since shortly after the US abandoned the gold standard in 1971. No wonder so many see this as the worst decision in British financial history. And here is the timing of that first sale illustrated. What a bunch of clowns. And as soon as the commitment was made, a consortium of central banks, including the European Central Bank and the Bank of England, then signed the Washington Agreement on Gold in September 1999, limiting gold sales to 400 tonnes per year for 5 years. And that triggered a reversal in the price, and there was a 25% rally in a week. And such gains have never been seen before or since. By the way, if you want to do the opposite and buy gold, I've written a report on it. I'll put a link in the comments. I think gold's going to be pretty handy in the years ahead, in the not too distant future. And my recommended bullion dealer, as always, is the Pure Gold Company. I'll put a thing in the comments. But anyway, in total, the UK eventually sold 395 tonnes over 17 auctions from July 1999 to March 2002. And the average price was $275 an ounce. And it raised about $3.5 billion. I've had it said to me many times that China was on the other side of the trade, but that's something we'll never know. Never explain as conspiracy that which can be explained by incompetence, runs the wisdom. But this was so incompetent, even those who favour that line of thinking struggle to explain Brown's logic. It was done to diversify UK assets, runs the standard explanation. Gold pays no interest. Brown wanted a yield. How was Brown to know that interest rates would fall for the next 20 years? Many, especially on the left, supported the decision. Even the former UK Prime Minister David Cameron, I'm pretty sure it was David Cameron who said this, I think that the decision to sell the gold was the right one. It was based on sound advice and it released funds that could be invested in other assets. Of course, with hindsight, it's easy to criticise the decision. But at the time, it was the right thing to do. So said David Cameron. Such are the levels of incompetence, and it being gold, many other theories quickly emerged. It was a political decision, not a financial one, said the Bank of England. Many argue that the sale was part of Gordon Brown and Tony Blair's plans to take Britain into the new euro currency without asking voters, either to fund the euro itself or to fund the UK's entry into the European single currency. And this theory is linked to the wider belief that there is an agenda to create a European superstate that will replace national sovereignty. Hence the argument that the sale was part of a broader plan to suppress the price of gold. Brown was acting on behalf of a shadowy cabal of bankers and financiers, the same people that today are thought to be attempting to impose the Great Reset and control the world's financial system. Others argue that he sold the gold at a low price in order to benefit his friends in the City of London. Brown is always, suspiciously in the eyes of some, quick to defend the transparent manner in which the sale was carried out. The National Audit Office said that it was in a transparent and fair manner that the sale had happened. This is Gordon Brown's words. While achieving value for money. So that is actually what happened, Brown declared in 2007. Perhaps, simply, Brown thought the price was going even lower and called the market wrong. Not such an unlikely mistake to make. The 1990s had seen something like 1,600 tonnes of gold sold by Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Canada and the Netherlands. And official sector holdings in 1968 accounted for some 40% of all the gold ever mined in history. By 1999, that figure had fallen below 25%. The new European Central Bank might not even bother keeping any bullion from the 11 founders of the forthcoming single euro currency. Analyst Kamal Naqvi, who was then at Macquarie Equities, told the Financial Times, "The British are looking to sell before everyone else." 2 months earlier, in April 1999, Switzerland, fifth largest holder of gold in the world, narrowly passed a referendum to take the franc off the gold standard, and it became the last nation to leave the gold standard. The sale of another 1,300 tonnes was green-lit. Switzerland never actually sold that 1,300 tonnes, though. The following week, the International Monetary Fund was practically unanimous in its plans to follow suit. There had been calls, led by Gordon Brown, who would repeat them in 2005, to use the money to write off third world debt for the new millennium. 100% debt relief on multilateral debt, IMF debt to be written off by revaluing or dealing with IMF gold through sales, Brown said. The decision to sell gold was taken after extensive consultation with the Bank of England and based on their advice that the price was likely to fall further. It was the right decision, and it released over £2 billion to invest in other assets. Why not just print the money and invest it? Money illusion is why. Brown was never a man to admit when wrong, even with reality staring him in the face. Once the decision had been taken, he was too stubborn to go back on it, even with all that advice from the gold markets. And the result was that he nailed the bottom of the market. And of everything he did as Chancellor internationally, this stupidity is what he will be most remembered for. The mistake was to swap gold, the money of last resort, an asset that is nobody else's liability, for fiat money beholden to the whims of others. That was the mistake. Gold is a superior currency, a superior store of wealth. Thanks for watching. I'll be back with another video very soon.